بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله we've gathered again Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to sit in His house and gather for this very blessed occasion very blessed act of worship with regards to Thursday night there's a lot of practices that we see amongst the scholars and the elders and the knowledgeable ones in the deen but specifically the virtue of the night of Thursday and the day of Friday is reported by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself where he said that on this luminous and radiating nurani night and day send abundant salat and salam so we should our tongue should always be moist with it anyway it's a cure for all our worries and I don't say that lightly it contains a key and a cure for all our worries and you'll see people who mashallah have that Allah Ta'ala is blessed with the tawfiq to recite Ibn al-Durud that they find a way out of every situation. You'll never see them depressed. This is just, subhanAllah, something Allah Ta'ala has placed inside of it. When a person's feeling grieved, Shaykh Yunus Jompi rahmatullah, somebody told him, I'm feeling a lot of grief over someone who's passed away. So he was advised him, who was the Shaykh al-Hadith of the entire subcontinent, he advised that recite Salatun Salam Durud and send the reward to your to the deceased who you're remembering and it will give you comfort to your heart as well. So it's Allah Ta'ala's great fadl. As I say, that's the reason why we do it. And the recitation of the 40 riwayat in specifically, a point comes to mind. And that is that there's lots of different wordings that have come across and we're free to make our own wording and as well. We can praise and people do praise. There's lots of na'ats. There's lots of different wording for salat and salam and durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but there will never, no matter how good it is. For example, people often quote the durood sharif of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, that he was seen in a dream after he passed away in a very, very beautiful condition. Somebody asked him that, "How did you attain this?" And he said that in my life there was this one siha wording that I wrote and du'a that I made of du'a for the Prophet ﷺ, Durood Sharif, and Allah Ta'ala accepted that, and this is what you see. So there are many of these, but we should keep in mind that nothing will ever equate to the one that the Prophet ﷺ himself praised, the one he himself advised. So these 40 Durood Sharif that we recite, these are all taken from the Ahadith Sharif, the authentic narrations of the Prophet ﷺ. Each one is strongly mentioned and authenticated. So it has its own virtue. So we should keep that in mind. And this is a collective act of worship. So each person should imagine the only thing with dua, the only condition is we should be present. So try and keep our hearts present. And just imagine how lucky we are that each time it's being recited, that it's being presented to the Prophet ﷺ with our name. And the Prophet ﷺ is replying to us. And then the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, His reward and the door to all our problems is being opened through the virtue of this. And we are most importantly, best of all, is our ta'alluq and our relationship with the Prophet ﷺ is increasing. Everyone knows about Ertugrul, obviously, especially over the last 2-3 years. After him, Sultan Abdul Hamid who came, he had a ritual as well, because this has been coming in the Ummah from the beginning. This Thursday, people used to give this a lot of, and the day of Friday, people used to give it a lot of priority and a lot of importance. So he once saw a dream. I don't know how many of you know of this fact. He didn't see a dream, sorry. He would every week have a set schedule. Like I said, if some of your brothers were there, I said, we should fix an amount. That's the only way we can make good progress. So he had a fixed amount, his ma'amul, that I would recite this much. The number is not in my mind at the moment. Maybe it was 10,000, I do not remember. But one night, he was the Khalifa, so he was busy in some affairs and he missed his weekly schedule and routine. The next day, somebody came to his court. One of his guards came into him and he said that there's a man outside who's saying that he saw the Prophet ﷺ in his dream last night. And the Prophet ﷺ has a message for you. So he goes, should I let him in? So the Khalifa straight away thought about it. Yeah, sure. And he thought about it. Ajib. So he called him inside. The person came. And he said that I've come because the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, I saw him in a dream last night. And then he asked why you had turned a cold shoulder to him, something to the effect that why did you forget about him last night? So the Khalifa burst into tears. This is Sultan Abdul Hamid. Yeah, I'm sure many of you know about him. The grandson of Ertugrul, who came obviously before him, one of the last Khalifas of the Ottoman Empire. So he then gave him many sacks of gold and sent him away. And he was after that he did tawbah, and after that he made sure he never missed it again. So this is the point. This is building a connection, relationship with the Prophet ﷺ, and this is just a start. I keep on stressing this. After this, we should try, and in our day, especially on this day, have our fixed target of at least 1,000 times. It does not take much effort at all. At least 1,000 times individually. If not the long, we don't have to recite the long narration. Even sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the short wa sallallahu nabi al-ummi, even that suffices as a sufficient durood salam. And if a person has focus, then you should recite durood al-Ibrahimi as well. Mix it up a little bit. But at least having that target, it's mentioned in the hadith, an extra virtue of that, that whoever recites 1,000 times every Friday, then he will not pass away until he sees his abode in Jannah whilst he's in this life. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to increase and recite abundant, abundant, abundant. We know such people who in this country, women, old ladies, who recite, mashallah, hundreds of thousands of times every single day. So it's just through practice. When a person gets quicker and quicker, we see people in the fast food restaurants and chains, very, very quickly they're working at almost inhuman speeds. But that's just come through repetition. So if we get our tongues moist and accustomed to this, then they will begin to flow with these things, just as they flow with other things that are not of much benefit. May Allah give me tawfiq as well and everyone else. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. If everybody recites the Sharif one time, اللهم صل على محمد. اللهم بارك على محمد. سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام للمرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وانزل المنقد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده وبدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم، وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد وبارك وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي أمه وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء، وأعطه الوصية والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته، وارزه عنا ما هو أهله، وارزه أضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمتي، وصل على جميع إخواني من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي، 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 وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله، سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. تحيات الله الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله، السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء، تحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا، وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله وشهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. تحيات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله. Inshallah, now we will do some ta'aleem with the focus on, as mentioned prior, the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reason for this is that the foundation of our iman is based on the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I mentioned, one of the first ahadith that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah brings in Kitabul Iman is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that none of you can be complete in his iman, in his faith. In fact, that translation is a cautious translation. If you literally translate it, the meaning is none of you has iman. However, the ulama, in view and respect of other hadith, have given the cautionary translation, which is that none of you is a complete believer until he does not love me more than he loves his family, his friends, his family, his children, and everyone else. And as I mentioned, another narration, more than himself as well. So it's a requirement. Because what happens is when there is conflict of interest between, maybe it could be a family member, it could be the nafs, a person's own nafs, it could be a child, then at that time, whoever a person gives preference to, that's who's going to win. So in those situations, love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very, very useful to have, and that's what serves to help a person make the right decisions in every situation. And God forbid, there can be situations where a person, due to having love for something else more, his iman could be spoiled, or he could involve himself in a very, very big sin. Yeah, so somebody asks him, someone who's very dear to him, asks him to do something wrong. For example, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. When it comes to your parents, they have such a right over you that وَخْفِرْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. That this wing of mercy, you should humble yourself before your parents. Allah Ta'ala says, لَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. There's nothing such an ajeeb. Don't even say uff to them. Such an astonishing and amazing way for Allah Ta'ala to command us. The scholars mentioned, what does that mean? Does that mean if you say, if you don't say oof when you say something else, it's okay? They say no, oof denotes the slightest bit of inconvenience and slightest bit of taklif that you could give to your parents. So if you can't even say oof, then forget everything else. That goes down the drain. However, Allah Ta'ala says, if they ask you to sin, then do not obey them. But still, صَاحِبَهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Treat them in a nice way. So the qanun is that you must obey your elders, you must obey those who are above you. However, you cannot obey any of the creation if it's in the disobedience of the Creator. So that's why the love of the Prophet ﷺ comes. And this is why our enemies know this very well. By enemies, I mean the opponents of Islam. They know this very well. So they make an active effort to remove this from the Ummah by many ways. Khair, inshallah, we won't go into that right now. Maybe on a later occasion. Our time is short anyway. But the Prophet ﷺ left us with role models. Allah Ta'ala praises the Sahaba again and again in the Quran al-Kareem. And Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said that my Sahaba are like stars. Whoever you follow, you'll be guided. So they are the secondary standard by which we can arrive at the Prophet ﷺ. And by arriving at the Prophet ﷺ and his Sunnah, then we arrive at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the chain. So by looking at their lives, then we realize how short we fall in this regard. And inshallah, then it can make us wake up and it can inshallah build and it can add a bit of fire to that and kindle that love for the Prophet ﷺ. And that's the door to all khair. Umar radiallahu anhu's grief at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise. None can deny, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, the valor, the courage, and strength of Umar radiallahu anhu, whose name, even mentioned now after 1400 years, hearts are struck with awe and respect. Islam could not be professed and preached openly before Umar radiallahu anhu's coming into his fold. This country that we see and the West that we see with all its developments and with all its advancements, and we see a lot of progression with regards to its laws, then obviously it's not always been like this. 50, 60, 70 years ago, racism was rife and there was no equality. All these sort of things have only come very recently. Now, where did the West learn this from? If you go back, you'll see that there's a period in history, a long period in history, which they call the Dark Ages. In the Dark Ages, it's called the Dark Ages because nobody wants to talk about what life was like in the West, in the Western Hemisphere. Then what happened is that when Muslims arrived in Spain, and those who know the history of the recent history, then they brought these principles and this fairness and equality to that region. So when the West saw this, and they saw the development that this brought, and the justice and the peace in society, tranquility in society, then they started to learn these things. Otherwise, before that, there were lots of, without going into mentioning all the details, there was a lot of injustices and there was a lot of dirt and filth in the West. But it learned it all from here. And even today, in certain European countries, if you examine the law, then those laws are still called the Umar laws. If you look into them, I think Albania as well, they still have the Umar laws. So this was Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And as soon as he embraced Islam, he did not conceal his faith. He made an open declaration. Despite his bravery, he would not accept the Prophet ﷺ had passed away. So much so that he stood with a sword in his hand, utterly confused and bewildered, saying, "I shall behead the person who says that Rasulullah ﷺ has passed away. Rasulullah ﷺ has only gone to visit his Allah, just as Musa ﷺ had gone to Tur. Nabi ﷺ will return shortly and cut off the hands and feet of those who are spreading the false news of his demise." On the other hand, Uthman radiallahu anhu was stunned with grief on this event. He could not utter a single word, even until the next day, and walked about as if he was unable to speak. Ali radiallahu anhu, too, was in terrible grief. He was still and motionless. Only Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, despite his deep love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we have seen in the previous incident mentioned last week, stood firm as a rock against this terrible storm of grief, and he did not lose his composure. He calmly entered the Prophet ﷺ's house. He kissed Nabi ﷺ's forehead, and he came back to the people. He called Umar radiallahu anhu to sit down, and he began to address the people. He said, "Whosoever worship Muhammad ﷺ, let him know that the Muhammad ﷺ is no more. And whoso worshipped Allah should know that Allah is everlasting and eternal." He then recited the following verse of the Quran al-Kareem, that وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is but a messenger. Messengers alike of those who have passed away before him. Will it be when he dies or is slain that you will turn back on your heels? He who turns back does not hurt Allah, and Allah will reward those who recognize the truth. As Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was destined to be the Khalifa after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is significant that, unlike other Sahaba, he behaved with composure and patience that was needed on an occasion like this. Again, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu alone who knew better than anybody else about the regulations regarding the burial, inheritance, etc. of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. when a difference of opinion arose amongst the Sahaba as to whether the burial place of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam be at Makkah, Medina, or Jerusalem, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who settled the difference by saying on the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Anbiya are buried wherever they have passed away. Subhanallah. There were several other ahadith known only to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that helped solve many of the other problems that arising after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of these ahadith are that Anbiya have no heirs, no inheritors. All the Annabi leaves behind is Sadaqah. Number two, Allah Ta'ala's curses on the Amir who does not take proper interest and exercise proper care in the appointment of his duties. And number three, the state affairs shall remain in the custody of the Quraysh. So this was Allah Ta'ala's hikmat. And the Prophet ﷺ, before even passing away, he commanded in his final illness that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu leads the salah. And this was, and many other things as well, which made it very clear. But we see here the Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's firmness in this situation. And we spoke about his love last time as well. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission came to an end, these are Ayyamul Hajj, so we have to talk about Hajj some way, because we are, our hearts desire that we be there as well. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala take us next time and again, Maqbool Hajj. When it was the when Hajj came, the final Hajj, Hajjatul Wida, which is what it's called, the farewell Hajj. In this Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood in front of the people and he asked them that, Have I given you the message? Has the message reached you from me? Have I propagated and conveyed the message? The Sahaba replied in one voice that not only have you conveyed the message, but you have fulfilled its right as well. So then the Prophet ﷺ raised his finger and he asked Allah Ta'ala, O Allah, bear witness that I have fulfilled your, conveyed your message. Thereafter, the verses of إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ Surah Nasr were revealed to the Prophet ﷺ that when the help of Allah comes and victory comes and you see people entering into Islam in large numbers, flocking into Islam, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ, then begin to engage in tasbih and glorify your Lord and seek His do istighfar. Certainly He is the one, the all-clement. And thereafter, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that a slave was given a choice between the dunya and the world, the dunya and the hereafter, and he chose that which is with his Lord. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu burst into tears, profusely crying. There were some Sahaba who were young at the time, and they say, we saw this old man start to cry in this situation. And we're so confused that what's happened to the Shaykh? What's happened to him? You know, everyone else has no idea. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood. Nobody else understood what was happening. What the Prophet ﷺ meant, because he grew up with the Prophet ﷺ. Before Islam, they were close friends, so he knew what the message was. That now that your obligation of nubuwa is complete, the mission is complete. Now you will be called back to us very soon. So at that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was in an uncontrollable state. Nobody else understood. But then, when this time came, then it was time for the duty. So he put his emotions, despite being so engrossed in the love of the Prophet ﷺ, he held firm. This was true love at that time, where he didn't let his emotions get to the best of him, but rather he knew that for Allah and His Rasul ﷺ, he had to be firm. So this only speaks levels which is far beyond, you know, our comprehension. And this is what makes him the greatest amongst all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. That yes, everyone else was completely, you know, astonished and broken at this situation, but he was broken as well. At times he would go quiet for long periods, and then a certain ah would come out of his mouth, and there'd be a certain sort of fragrance and smell that would come from that. And that smell was the doctors would say that's the smell of his liver being burnt. And he had so much grief inside that he suppressed for Allah Ta'ala and for his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because as a Khalifa, if he lost it, then he knew it would happen. So Khairdis Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, may Allah Ta'ala grant us that love as well. And that becomes the key to then getting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the point. That's the point. Because when someone's in love, then he doesn't require any instruction. Then even no instruction takes that person very, very far. Then just to know that my beloved did this, once Umar radiallahu anhu was traveling, and he stops by and he sits down for a while and he continues. Usually people stop in those days, they would stop to answer the call of nature. But he had no such need. So his companions asked him, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, why did you do this? What was this all about?" So he said that Once we were traveling with the Prophet ﷺ, and I saw him stop here, and so my heart desired that I don't go past this place without me doing this as well. So there's no, this isn't an ibadah per se, but this is, if you imagine, if this is the level of love with those things which are just his trivial, you know, which we could say seemingly trivial habits, then when it came to the sunnah, then you can only imagine how firm they were upon the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is where their success came. This is where the success came. The difficulties that Ummah is facing is because of a lack of adherence to the sunnah. Very, very clearly. Once the Sahaba were in, I'll give you, you're going to be astonished by this example. Once they were in a, after, much later, after the demise of the Prophet ﷺ, they were in a battle with the Romans, and they were trying everything, and yet they're not able to overpower the enemy. So they get together to discuss. So they're like, we've tried all there is. We made plans. We've done everything. Our planning is on point. Our strategy seems okay. Why is it that we're used to the help of Allah Ta'ala coming at this point? Why are we still struggling? So where did their thought process go? They said that, ki koi sunnah, this, we're probably missing something. It's probably a sunnah that we're missing at. So they discussed amongst each other, what is it we're missing at? They said, since we've come here, we've not been doing ihtimam, we've not been showing due diligence to the miswak. None of us is using the miswak properly as we should be. So there was a tree nearby, and they all broke off the little branches from there to prepare the miswaks. And subhanAllah, with that, the enemy, Allah Ta'ala put such fear in their hearts that they were like, I don't know what these madmen are, what they're planning now. And Allah Ta'ala put something in their hearts that they turned back and they retreated, and the Muslims were able to gain the upper hand. Just through that. So this love and this following the sunnah is the key which brings the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. And once we get this, then all these things become very, very easy. Yeah, you look at someone who's a football fan and he has his favorite football player, you don't have to ask him twice to buy the jersey for that football player. He'll wear the number 7, wherever he is. He doesn't care. So when a person is in love with, when his love reaches that level with the Prophet ﷺ, then treading the deen becomes extremely easy. Becomes extremely, extremely easy. All these difficulties that people talk about, a person doesn't even understand how they're difficult. Balki, he enjoys the difficulty. And we need to bring that in, because the Prophet ﷺ said, a time will come where holding on to my deen will be like holding on to coal, burning coal. So it shows that it will be hard, it won't be easy. So it's extremely important then that this thing is done. Okay, so these are the three things. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum had three nare that they would always do. Number one, they would always say was, Amanna wa saddaqna. The first thing they would say is, we believe in Allah. We believe in what you have brought to us, and we confirm it's the truth. But that's not enough. Iman is not enough. That's number one. The second was, Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear what Allah has commanded, what you have commanded us, and we obey. There's nothing in between. We hear, we obey. That's it. A and B. But the final thing is, Bi abi anta wa ummi. They would say, Ya Rasulullah, may our parents be sacrificed for you. The parents was the most beloved, you know, at that time when people used to really treat their parents well. They said, may our parents be sacrificed for you, Ya Rasulullah. May our lives be sacrificed for you. So with love and muhabbat, they obeyed Allah and His Rasul, and as a result, the whole world became theirs. Somebody once said to one of our sheikhs, he said that, you know, now it's the 21st century, what you do, you know, you're talking about these things. Look at the condition around you. You know, in Torah, he was a friend. You know, those of the opposite, you speak on an informal level. So he said, come on, man, you're talking about these things. Kind of look at what's going on around you. Yeah, and you're talking about these sort of things. So the sheikh then replied to him. He said, okay, tell me something. Do we have more love for the dunya? Are we more involved in the dunya, or the Sahaba radiallahu anhu more involved in the dunya? So the person said, obviously we are. We're much more absorbed. Our hearts are over here. We're much more concerned about the dunya. Who can deny the fact? He said, okay, but who did better in the dunya? Who had more success? He said, the Sahaba had more success. The Sahaba were started off in the one corner of Arabia, and they took over the entire world. Persian Empire fell. The Roman Empire fell. The Byzantine Empire fell. The whole world became theirs. There was nothing that they weren't able to achieve. So he said, that means your formula's failed. That means your formula's failed. By following the footsteps of Ini Sarkari Du'alam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the alam becomes yours as well. This world and the next. Allah Ta'ala has promised in the Quran, وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are true believers, then you will be dominant. And as long as that's there, then subhanAllah, this is the answer for all our worries. Here, I'll just end mention the last story. It's only half a page, inshallah, then we'll conclude. And again, we just look at these and we try, and maybe just make dua that hopefully with these small efforts, this small amount of time we spend, then we hope that by us sharing these feelings, that Allah Ta'ala puts them into our heart. And Ansari has anxiety about the Prophet ﷺ. In the Battle of Uhud, the Muslims suffered heavy losses and quite a large number of them were martyred. When the devastating news of their heavy casualties reached Medina, the women came out of their houses, eager to know the actual details of these casualties. On seeing the crowd of people at a place, a woman of the Ansar anxiously inquired, "How is Rasulullah ﷺ?" When told that her father was martyred in the battle, she uttered, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," and impatiently repeated the same question about the Prophet ﷺ. This time she was told that her husband was no more, her brother was martyred, and that her son too was slain. With ever-growing anxiety, she repeated the same question about the welfare of the Prophet ﷺ. She was told the Nabi ﷺ was safe and sound, but she would not rest contented and insisted on seeing Nabi ﷺ herself. When at last she had satisfied her eyes with his sight, she said, "O Nabi of Allah, every affliction is eased and every worry removed with the blessing of seeing you." According to another version, she herself clung to the Prophet's clothing and said, "I do not care for the loss of my kinsmen as long as I have seen you alive and well." There are several incidents of this kind that occurred after the Battle of Uhud. It is perhaps for the large number of such incidents that different names have been reported by different narrators about these women. In fact, such incidents happened many times with different women of that time. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the true love of him and the true love of his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his sake. Make it dominant upon all other loves. And may Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to bring the Sharia into our lives and apply it in every aspect upon the blessed Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wani alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.